And so are we to take these lessons as well and learn from them. Here, Jesus gives us insight into the process and the production of his spiritual vineyard. Now, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at the first two verses, kind of an introduction to this, but we're going to see in those two verses much about the vineyard. And maybe in the future we can go on with this if the Lord allows, but let's look at three things I want us to point out in these first two verses. First of all, we'll see the roles of the vineyard. We'll see the responsibility of the vineyard. And then thirdly, we'll see the routines of the vineyard. So as we begin this tour in the spiritual vineyard of God here in John 15, he introduces three different roles that we find. He first says there, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And then in verse 2, it begins with the words, every branch in me. So the three roles we find are the husbandman, the vine, and the branches. Each of these roles are going to speak a spiritual truth. So let's look at them individually and let's see what they have to say to us. First of all, we see the Lord of the vineyard. The Lord of the vineyard. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, notice the word husbandman, or the ESV, I believe, says vine dresser. The Greek word is literally a farmer. It means farmer. In other words, the Father is the farmer of the vineyard. God oversees and he cares for his vineyard. The vineyard is his responsibility. He's the Lord of the vineyard. The husbandman of the vineyard does all that he can to make sure that the vineyard is productive. He cares for, he nurtures, he cultivates, he cleanses the vineyard. The Lord Jesus is teaching us here that our Heavenly Father, he's not some disconnected deity without any concern for his creation. God is active in his creation. He is a loving Father who does everything to ensure the welfare and the progress of his people. He's the loving Lord of the vineyard. In Ephesians 2:10, we find there it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God is working and seeing that things are set in place, that we are productive and progressing in our Christianity and in our relationship with him. We are part of his vineyard, and he is in charge of our care. Philippians says that he who begins a good work in us will bring it to completion. God is the God of the vineyard. He's the Father over the vineyard. He is the Lord of the vineyard. And he's seeing to it that his people are going to bring about his purposes. We see the roles of the vineyard and the Lord of the vineyard. But let's notice, secondly, the life of the vineyard. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, without a vine, you have no vineyard. Without a vine, you have no life. The life is that which is going into the ground. It's going into the dirt. Its roots are reaching down, and it is giving the life source up through the vine, out through the branches. Jesus is the life of the vineyard. Jesus is the life of the Christian. He says on down there that without me you can do nothing. He's the very source of life for the Christian. Our focus, our hearts needs to be upon Christ. Always upon Christ. He is the only source of life. We cannot exist apart from His infilling and His empowering. Without a vine, there is no vineyard. Without Christ, there is no Christian. The life of a vineyard is dependent upon the vine. The life of the Christian is dependent upon Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1:16 that Jesus, He is there. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Not only is God and Christ the giver of all life, but specifically, Christ is the giver of life to His people. You can't make it without Christ. You can't go 1 second without Christ. Oh, dear friend, look to Christ. Cling to Christ. Solace in Christ. Look to Him. We see the roles of the vineyard here. That not only the Lord of the vineyard and the life of the vineyard, but then thirdly we see the loved of the vineyard. Verse 2 begins with these words, every branch in me. In the vineyard, you not only have the Father, who's the Lord of the vineyard, Christ, who is the life of the vineyard, but then you have the branches, who are the loved, the cared for of the vineyard. Now, what are the branches? They're the shoots off the vine. It is the branches, the shoots off the vine that bear the fruit. That's where the fruit is grown. They are vehicles through which the vine produces fruit. Who are the branches in God's spiritual vineyard? The branches are those that are in the vine, or those that are in Christ. We who have been saved are the branches in the spiritual vineyard. As you study the vineyard, you'll find that all the attention of the farmer, all the blessings of the vine are focused on the branches. We're the loved of the spiritual vineyard. God the Father, God the Son work together to take care of and strengthen us. Just as the farmer and the vine work hand in hand to ensure healthy branches, so also God and His Son through His Word and through the church and through the preaching is seeing that we come to bear fruit. It is His desire that we bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit. You see, God wants us to produce. You are not insignificant in the work of God. You are the very, very means by which He's going to bring forth this fruit. You are a branch in the Father's vineyard, and He loves you. He cares for you. What can separate you from His love? Is there anything? What does Paul tell us in Romans? That nothing, no creature, no anything can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. As we continue our tour here in the vineyard, there's something else that we see in the next in this text. Notice not only the roles of the vineyard, but notice the responsibility of the vineyard. Now, vineyards are not like flower gardens. Vineyards are not just grown to to look pretty. They have a greater responsibility than just beauty. Likewise, God's spiritual vineyards that we find here in John 15 is not just for show. It was planted, and it grows with a high and heavenly purpose in mind. In our text here in verses 1 and 2, we're introduced to the responsibility and purpose of the vineyard. Let's notice a couple of things about the responsibility of the vineyard. First, it's to make fruit. See, look at verse 2 with me. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 2 makes it clear that the vineyard exists to make fruit. To make fruit. When the farmer planted the seed in his vineyard, he envisioned in his mind the day when he would see those first blooms, when he would see those first clusters, and when he would gather that first harvest. He planted the seed with hopes of bringing forth fruit and gathering fruit. That's what was on his mind. That's what he wanted to do. Likewise, when God planted his seed in the dirt of human flesh, in the person of his son, the purpose was to bring forth many sons to glory. To bring forth fruit. God wants to bear fruit. God is bearing fruit through his people. God will have his harvest. It will complete his purpose. God's vineyard is to produce spiritual fruit. Now, we as the branches, God wants us to produce spiritual fruit. Now, that is truly fruits of holiness. God desires that we be holy as he is holy. God is wanting to work holiness in us that he might conform us to the image of his son. God also desires that we bring forth fruits of souls that we as his church are being used to spread the gospel that others might come into the kingdom. That's why Taylor's in Ecuador this morning. Amen. That's why we're investing in missionaries in different places that God brings forth his harvest. God desires that we bear fruit. Matthew Henry says, from a vine, we look for grapes. From a Christian, we look for Christianity. Jesus said in verse 8, it is the Father's will that we bear much fruit. As we tour the spiritual vineyard here, we're reminded that the vineyard exists for the purpose of making fruit. It is God's desire that we bear fruit. But we see a further responsibility of the vineyard, not just that it make fruit, but that it maximize fruit. You see it there in verse 2. It says, we have a kind of an interesting progression. In one statement it says, every branch that beareth fruit, and then the last statement of the verse says that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, the idea is not that the goal of the vineyard, that the branches just make fruit, but that each branch make as much fruit as it possibly can make. God wants to maximize the fruit bearing in your life. Amen? He wants you to bear fruit, much fruit. You may have some fruit. I hope you have some fruit. Surely you have some fruit. But God wants you to be a better branch. God wants you to bring forth an abundance of fruit. In the spiritual vineyard, He wants us to maximize this fruit bearing. You may have some fruit. The Lord is delighted when we, the branches, bring forth fruit. And He's ever so working so that He may be even more delighted in the abundance of fruit that comes from our lives. This is a process that takes place over time. Maybe you're a new Christian and you're beginning this, and maybe there's not much fruit in your life. God's working. God's doing a work. The process, someone said, the process of change is something like walking across America. Every step is progress, but you still have such a long way to go. Amen. The responsibility of the vineyard is to have each branch producing more and more fruit. Likewise, God wants us to produce more and more fruit. So as we continue this, how does this happen? What is God going to do to assure that we bring forth much fruit? That's where we're going to see the routines of the vineyard. Now look closer at verse 2. We're introduced to some of the routines there, the operations of the vineyard. The vineyard exists to make fruit. It exists to maximize in that fruit bearing. And we're going to see here how that's done, how the Father accomplishes His goal of making us bear more fruit. Now, notice a couple of these routines. First of all, He induces the weak branches. Look at verse 2. It says, "Each branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away." Now, I might have some disagreement on this, and there are commentators that disagree with me, and that's okay if they want to do that. But just bear with me for a minute, and I want to make this point, and then I'll show you how I can back it up with Scripture. But first of all, there are those who think this means that this phrase taketh away, and they teach that if you're not fruitful as a Christian, that God will remove you from the vine, and essentially, you'll lose your salvation. Now, we know that's not true, right? Right? Okay. The teaching is really the opposite of that, that the Lord Jesus was actually saying the Greek word here that says taketh away actually means to lift up. Now, if we get on down in the text, we're going to see that there's some branches that are not in Him that are cast out, and they wither and they're gathered and they're thrown into the fire. Now those are the ones that lost their salvation, right? No. Those are the ones who never had salvation. They never were part of the vine. They never were true Christians. Judas was one of those. But this word here, taketh away, means to lift up. To understand this, imagine a farmer walking through his vineyard, and there's a vine laying down on the ground. Maybe it's got into the mud, it's shaded from the sun, it's not getting much oxygen. So a farmer comes through, and he sees that vine on the ground. It's down there where it can't get sunlight. It's not getting much oxygen. So he's just going to cut it off and throw it out. No. He's going to lift it up. He's going to put it in a position where it can get in the sun. He's going to put it in a position where it can get more oxygen. He's going to bear it up. He's going to pick it up. I'm glad God does that for us. That when we get down in the dirt, when we get distracted and we get out in our minds on other things, and we're not as fruitful as we should be, that God will bear us up. He will lift us up. Isaiah 42:2 says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He bears us up. That's encouraging. Our Heavenly Father wants us to produce fruit. If we're a weak branch and not fruitful, he comes and he lifts us up and he cleanses us off and he tries to place us in a better position of growth. Maybe you were once in a church that wasn't real healthy and God wanted you to bear fruit, but you weren't able to bear fruit in that condition. So God brought you out and he placed you in a better church where the soil is better, where the light is better, where the oxygen is better, where you can bear more fruit for his glory. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God has brought me here and placed me in this church with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. There have been times when all of our lives when we're not been as fruitful as we should be. And maybe God sent a friend, a brother or a sister along the way that encouraged you and helped you. Maybe you heard just the sermon that you needed to hear that bolstered you and helped you to be determined to bear more fruit. Maybe God put you in a certain situation where now in that situation you can bear more fruit for his glory. This reminds me of a song that we used to sing when we were little. And I won't sing it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, for he's still working on me. I'm thankful that one of the routines of God's vineyard is to induce the weak branches. Now notice also there is something else that he does to improve the working branches. Look again at verse 2. The Lord Jesus goes on to say, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So not only does the Lord of the vineyard help the weak branches, he also does something to help the working branches. Jesus said that the Father purgeth the branches that bear fruit so that it can produce more fruit. Notice that the word purgeth there, it comes from the Greek word. It means to cleanse or to prune. It gives the idea of taking away impurities, taking away hindrances. Something there is causing this branch not to bear the amount of fruit that it really can bear. And so God comes and he works to take away or to help that producing branch produce more. He lifts up the weak branches, but then he works with the producing branches so that they will produce more fruit. You see, God knows how much fruit you can bear. And he does what he has to see that you bear as much fruit as you can bear. He's the Lord of the vineyard. He cares for the branches with love. He is constantly working that we bring forth this spiritual fruit. He tenderly cleans and prunes away the things that are hindering us. There are some things most probably in our lives right now that are hindering us from bearing as much fruit as we should be bearing. And God will do what he must do to see that we bear much fruit. I hope as we have looked through this, it's been a sense of encouragement. We should be encouraged. Whether we're a weak branch or a working branch, either way, we're an important branch. God wants us to bear fruit. He will do what he must do by caring for us, that we bring forth the abundance of fruit that he desires for us to bring forth. Sometimes God might come in your life and you're not bearing the fruit that he desires you to bear. And he comes and he wants to lift you up. But you resist that. Maybe you're bearing a little fruit and he comes and he wants to cause you to bear more fruit and you kick back against that. You're just maybe a little rebellious. Don't fight. When he tries to do pruning, don't resist. Let him do his work in you. But maybe there's someone here today. Maybe there's more than one here today that you're as barren as the sun-dried desert. There's not a bit of fruit in your life. And that is because you're not attached to the vine. You've never come to Christ. You've never repented of your sins. You've never trusted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never repented and believed the gospel. I encourage you to go to Christ. I pray to our God that he would come to you and that he would do a work in your heart, that he would cause the light of the glorious gospel to shine into your heart, and that you would be awakened, that you would become a new creature in Christ, that you would be born again. This is the desire of all of us if you're lost without him. Now, what about you, child of God? Let me ask you a question, way of application. Is there evident fruit in your life? You may be able to quickly answer in a positive way because you're by far further along than where you once were. Amen to that, right? But have you stalled out? I want us to focus this morning just for a moment on a fruit or a work of the Spirit or maybe the essential work of the Spirit to work in the soil of your heart that you might bring forth more fruit. And that work is repentance. It is the chief work of the Spirit to reprove of sin. The work of the Spirit in repentance is bringing you to a point of more than I'm sorry. It's bringing you to a point of more than I'm sorry and I'm sick of this. You have to be moved and motivated by the Spirit of God through the truth of His Word to a hatred, a disgust, an abhorrence of sin, and see it as the deadly thing that it is. It is a sin in our lives that are hindering our fruit bearing for our Father. May we repent. Edward Rainer writes, "Until sin be hated, it cannot be mortified. Crucify it until sin be really abhorred as He was." Think of that contrast. And how much Christ was hated by those who hated Him. And how that in turn should fuel the hatred within us for sin. In the tongue, speaking of truth, if it lie, speaking of the word, if it lie only in the tongue or in the mind, only to make it a matter of talk and speculation, it will soon be gone. The seed which lies on the surface, the fowls in the air will pick up. Listen to this. This did me good. Therefore, hide it deeply. Let it get from the ear into the mind. From the mind into the heart. Let it soak further and further. It is only when it has a prevailing sovereignty in the heart that we receive it in the love of it. When the truth, when the Word of God is dearer than our dearest lust, then it will stick to us. May the equip the working. Help us, Father, to be a church that is bearing fruit. And it must begin with repentance. Father, You must work the works of repentance within us. That we walk holy and